Tonight's Star Movie on Channel 43, your favorite movie station. We'll continue in a moment.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Josh always talks about that 30 minutes that I have, you know, right before the show starts when
seconds.
I become 30 seconds when I become hyper focused. And so there's one thing I was thinking about long before I came in today. The other thing, first of all, the very intro to the show. Boy, it really makes you appreciate an Ernie Anderson when you hear a fourth tier announcer.
Oh, like a mid-market guy that wants
just
to throw
phoning
it.
It in, right?
Horrible.
I mean, just terrible.
Would you like to hear him again, Mike?
Yeah, please play him again as an example. This is not Ernie Anderson.
No,
right?
I believe this is out of Cincinnati.
Uh-oh, he's clicking and grunting again. He is.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out which one of you guys was clicking.
I'm sure I think I know who it is.
Tonight's Star Movie on Channel 43, your favorite movie station. We'll continue in a moment.
And now off to my job for preseason baseball. I will be back in a second, guys. Sorry about the clickery.
Sounds good. Welcome back to Virginia.
It's just as well that I talk to Josh right now because, Josh, there he goes.
Yeah.
I was looking at the...
The
what's the matter? It's me?
It's you.
It's me?
It's okay. You. Yeah.
Right. Then I'm going to go.
Maybe we just pause the show for a moment.
Okay. Do you want to start again?
No, because people are here watching. So you can just leave and come back, and I'll sit here and wait, and we can just pick the show up when you and Rob come back.
Okay.
Now we got you both back, and we can actually do the show.
That's exciting.
What happened? What did I miss?
Mike was popping.
It was me. And then when I left, I don't want to get overly technical. I'm not going to bother with that.
All right.
So what I was going to talk to Josh about, the animation for the homepage of the Mike O'Mara Show, that wonderful Japanese logo that we have in the background, the rising sun, features you, me, and you're the one, by the way, that does all that with graphic design.
You mean
And it's I you know, just once in a while when I become super focused, I'll just notice something, and I'm like, the Rob perfect, in my opinion. That's the Rob personality.
Yeah, but you always say that about everything.
Yeah. Me, even though I look like Mike Ehrmantraut, I'm okay with it because I've cut my hair close and I get it.
What's missing on you is the nose is not quite, like a wax figure. It's almost there, but the nose is a little off on you.
I am bulbous, but not quite that bulbous.
Exactly. No gin blossoms.
But you're the only one with normal eyes.
Normal eyes is fine because I think that most of the time those eyes would say not wide-eyed, joyous, not anything. Now, but the real error is that the most sullen, non-smiling, non-laughing individual among us is the happiest in that picture, and that's not. You need to recreate that animation
for a picture.
What's that? Yeah, well, that's
so
fine.
Sure, I'm
okay.
In the real picture.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you're talking
picture?
About, as a man who, in the over a year you have been with us, has just comes to the table every day killing himself to be as funny as he can be. And every time, if you want to have some training into how to handle an audience that is not responding, I recommend you do a podcast with the man at the bottom of the screen because he will not give you anything unless he really thinks it's funny.
I'm not going to fake it.
You're not going to fake it. And that's good. And that's good. So, I mean, there are many times that now the guy in the upper right-hand corner, well, let's be honest, he fakes it every day. Every day, his joy, his participation, his love of sports.
You see, Mike, I fake love of sports, but don't think that I fake joy. This is the happiest hour of my day. This is good.
Yeah, but like, for example, you are like me, because I did the same thing, where you facilitate. I could not do this with two Sirocas.
No. You need a reactor.
I have to have somebody who is in, you know, happy, joy. And but it's not always real, and it was never always real for me either. It's that you are a facilitator of show movement forward. That's the only way it can work, you know. But
it's like a laugh track in a sitcom.
It's just there. I've told the story that I was in a room with Alan Goodman, Don Geronimo, and Smokey Rivers, and they sat me down and said, "Are you a good laugher?" Mm. And I said, "I am a good laugher. When I go to a comedy show, now I don't fake the laugh, but if I do think something is relatively funny, I let go. Yeah. I let go with it, and I do that. So I am, and I do that on this show to an extent as well, whereas Don didn't do it. Josh doesn't do it,
no.
And Rob and I do it. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of the way that goes.
I love yes. it because when we get a laugh from Josh, I feel we've earned it. I mm-hmm. felt the same way when we had Maddie Masiello in the studio. She was a great arbiter. She was not a fake laugher either. So if we got her to laugh, it was a good sign. You were talking about how Josh looks in that picture. Josh, would it be possible to redo that with some of the shots from you on your European trip? Like, there's one particular one,
where
I believe,
miserable.
At the Tower of Pisa, where you really, really look unhappy. It was so bad,
before,
I used it.
Before you go on, Josh, my point is that the animation should reflect the personalities of the individuals.
Yeah.
Got it.
And, I love you to death, and I do. You know, and I know, even though you have never identified me as a friend like you do with Rob Spiewak, I have tremendous esteem for you doing the show, which I think people should be aware of, because I think people might tend to focus on our differences when the fact is that I love Josh on the show. I think I never would have given the show and his participation as an on-air contributor a thumbs up at the beginning, because I didn't know.
Yeah,
and
then it wasn't the plan.
And it evolved. And I love it. It's very comfortable.
I would like you to go back to your disguised voice. But other than that, I think your participation has been great.
I mean, I've got that button here.
Good.
Somewhere.
Remember, he's got a disguised voice?
Yeah, he was Oz beginning. For a while. We didn't want to reveal who he was.
Oh, yeah. God, it's hard to remember. So much time has...
This voice? Is that it?
That's the one.
We all have the
or
same.
Was it this one? Maybe it was this one.
I need to figure out. Yes, go ahead.
In 2 weeks, we will be able to take a picture together, because the three of us will be together again for the third time ever.
Okay.
We're all together.
That's so weird to think about. It really, really is.
But between sorting through the Epstein files together, we can take a picture, and I'll make sure not to smile. That way it can show our real personality.
Good. Okay. All right. Good. That's good. I like that. Now, the other thing I was thinking when I was taking my kid to school today, coming back actually from taking him, I was thinking about music and how in the past, when people weren't paying attention to podcasts, that we could have a lot of fun with music on the show and never get our asses kicked. Now, every little thing has to. You heard the movie director that we interviewed that'll be broadcast next week, Wednesday.
Yeah. Next Wednesday,
a week from today, we'll have the director of Tapawingo on, and he's talking about one of the most expensive things for films is music royalties. And I was thinking how we can't afford to not only pay for music royalties, but we can't put them on because we will get flagged for copyright infringement. It's a very detailed thing, but it's been going on for a long time.
We get flagged in YouTube every single day with people wanting to take our ad money. Because of a clip we play on here or a music or whatever. It's every day.
And in some cases, it can really be a problem. So I was thinking that I had an earworm, and I was thinking of a workaround for the musical content on the show. And that's why I bring to you my favorite songs done by mouth, you know? So I give you.
How do you normally perform?
Well, no. What I'm saying, like for example, the earworm I have today is the Spirit of Radio with Rush.
Yeah.
And so, so I was thinking, well, how do we? I'd love to play it on the show because they're just so powerful, and you know, it's their intro in a lot of concerts. Yeah. When they come in there, so I was like, boom. And then I had, I was going to use technology.
What's amazing, Mike, is that I would have picked that out in a second. You did a great job, especially when you get to the bow.
Well, then I got to the Geddy Lee part. I said, how am I going to do that? So I was like, dun 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 dun. Anyway,
my mind strays to the person
that
just clicks on our live feed right now, and that's the first thing they see.
Well, I think we have our first viral TikTok moment.
Could be.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everyone. I'm Mike O'Mara. That's Rob Spiewak. That's Josh Soroka. And we are here. And I did drop my kid off at school because of the fact that he didn't want to take the bus today. Mm. So that is a flat hour of my morning that I have to account for. And, you know, I was fine with it today because you know why? Because I'm medicated and I can handle problems like that.
And he stops on the way home?
No. I mean, as far as like sugar. I was injected and I am ready to go. Speaking of more medication, I've turned that corner and I'm really, really, what is popping up down here? Hold on. I got something on my screen.
Oh, Mike, yeah. I think I know.
No, stop it.
Even though you're an older man, it happens.
Welcome to Apple Podcasts. What the F is going on?
Oh, that's a great service. You know, you can listen to podcasts there all you want.
While you're in there, go subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Smash the like button.
By the way, go to Apple Podcasts. We're there, and you can subscribe to the show, and I would appreciate that. And by the way, you can send us a super chat. Last night, we got $200,000 in super chats from our listeners. And so far, did Scoob mean stop when I was doing the rush?
Yeah,
he meant?
I think so.
You know, Scoob, for somebody who's here every day, I would appreciate a little more kindness. Just a little more. Doesn't have to be over the top, but just a little more kindness would be really, really appreciated.
He's opinionated. He definitely offers his. Do you think Scoob is short for like Scooby Doo, or is it book spelled backwards?
No, Scoob is short for I never send a super chat. Ever.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
I think Scoob has sent a super chat.
He has? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry.
Not today.
That was highly unfair of me. I apologize. Yeah,
Mike, you have the microphone. You win.
Sorry. Today we've got a project and a... is it a history test? Yes, I think it's a history test. It's all about Muslims, and because I was talking about Sharia law and the Quran.
So
and
the
all that.
School, I know the school he goes to
is a madrasa.
Yeah, are they recruiting?
Goes to a madrasa. How did I pull that? That I remembered madrasa.
Very
I don't remember
good.
What I had for breakfast. Oh, I didn't have breakfast. No. The sugar. If I eliminate sugar from my diet for even 24 hours, it is an instant deal where I feel better and I actually feel more perky and the weight comes off. So I'm excited.
If I eliminate sugar for just 24 hours, I start shaking.
You're drinking something else I noticed today.
Yeah,
you
today
seem to
I
be
made,
drinking.
I made some iced tea yesterday, and it's delicious. So
does it have sugar in it?
No, it's just tea.
They're just plain tea.
Just tea.
He's lying. Look at his mouth. He's lying through his teeth. He put tons of sugar.
No.
You probably have a cup of sugar in that.
No,
tea.
There's no sugar at all.
I don't know. I prefer unsweetened tea.
This is Chris Arnold. Thank you for the $9, the $10 super chat.
Yeah, that counts.
This
as
is
10.
All I have left. I've already spent my $200,000. Thanks so much. It keeps our little show together. We appreciate that. That's good. Good for you. I think that's one. Do you feel different when you eliminate it? Do you
feel more loved by my family.
You do? That's not true.
You're right.
How
a lie.
How is your family now that you're back in the bosom of your...
Have you seen them?
You know what? There was one nice moment when...
have you seen him?
Yeah, we cohabitate, Josh.
See, that's where he's gotten so much better.
Like, Robert came down on Monday to let the dogs out, and he said, wow, it's great to come down here and have the lights on. You know, because I think that's his way of saying he missed
that's
me.
That's saying I love you. Yeah. That's all he has to say.
And
he sits down,
he talks to me and stuff. I mean, it's really great to see him again. I like it.
So he could have been say, what? It's nice to see you. Or it's nice to come down and you be down here.
Well,
it's,
I think it was
I'm
implied
I'm glad I didn't trip
that.
Over anything this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, someone while I was gone turned the jukebox off, which really made me unhappy. And then I went and looked on my shelves to see if anything was taken and stolen.
Why did somebody turn? What do you mean they turned it off?
Well, you know, there's the big switch in the back. And if you flip it down, it doesn't light up. It looks like a corpse. You don't want the jukebox.
Well, you're not there. No one's going to look at it. What are you upset about?
Yeah. She probably saved $10 in electricity.
She did not save $10 in electricity because it's two fluorescent bulbs. It's all it is. But
I mean, it's just a flick of a switch. How long does it take to boot up? I mean,
do you remember the movie, the TV movie? Not the one with Michael Douglas, but before that, there was a TV movie about Liberace. And Liberace said in his home, he said, I think it was Victor Garber who played him. He said, never close the lid on the Steinway. It knows. And then when Liberace was dying, he finally went and closed the lid on the Steinway. This is how I feel when the jukebox turns off.
Yeah, but you don't play the jukebox like an instrument. You actually press buttons to play records. It's a record player. It has nothing to do with it. Thank you to Quick Nick 82. That's a new name. I haven't seen that one. Another $10 super chat. We appreciate it.
81 other Quick Nicks that he had to put that name on.
No, I would assume it's probably a graduation date or a birth date or something like that.
Height
that's
in
what
inches,
I think.
Maybe.
So they closed the lid to when Liberace died.
Yeah, exactly. I like to come down. Well, I love to come down and see the jukebox on. It's beautiful.
Does Carrie know that story? Any chance she was trying to kill you by turning off the jukebox?
I don't think that was her plan.
Do you think she was trying to save electricity?
I don't know. It was her, right?
It was her that shut it off?
It would almost have to be, but I'm curious how she knows where the switch is. She probably really had to apply herself.
Maybe she was taking a lot of pictures for eBay.
It would almost have to be. What do you mean? There are two people that also live in that house.
Yeah.
So it's your wife or your son.
I would guess it's her because she would be the one that would notice that it's on and I'm not here.
When you're sitting down there watching television, is it a distraction?
Not at all.
Like if you're trying to get into the Caps game, is this blinking neon thing
on
the side?
No, it's not. It doesn't blink. It's just a beautiful glow of rainbow colors and then the lighted piece where the selections are. If I look at my TV right now, which is off, I can see a reflection of it. But when I'm watching TV, I don't see it. Because it's behind me. If you're facing the TV, the jukebox is behind you.
So you walk down. Yeah, for people that think it's jolly old Rob, you know, this is a little window into your soul. So you arrive home.
Right. After
3 weeks being away from your family. And how soon from walking in the door and when you arrived, was there family there or were you?
I wish, Mike, I could say an untruth here, but I must give you the absolute truth.
Please do.
I was picked up at the airport by my mom because she's the sweetest person ever, and she hates going to the airport. She drove me home. We went into the driveway. I opened the garage, and I like to enter the house through the garage, and that's the basement level because it's not a subterranean basement.
So you didn't have to go down in your basement. You entered through your main
area. Came in with my two bags, and my mom was behind me, and I said, jukebox is off.
Oh, God.
What's the first thing I noticed when I came out? I don't know.
Did you have the feeling as you were walking into the garage, like something's off here?
No, I assumed, like when you go and visit someone, you assume they're alive.
Jukebox is off. Mom, go back to the car. There's someone in the house.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Have either one of you ever experienced arriving at a house when you've been away or someone's been away and obviously there's been a B&E? There's been a break-in? Scoob! Hi, Scoob! $20 super chat from Scoob. There are people. The holidays have started early for our listeners and viewers on YouTube.
Yeah.
When you walked in, did you, you know, feel something had been messed with? I mean, you
the reason that I didn't like it is because all the lights were off down here, like the, you know, the overhead lights and the lamps and stuff. But normally, even when the basement is dark, there's the glow of the jukebox. I find it warm and inviting.
It? Do you use it like when it's completely dark in there for visual assistance? Do you use it for light?
Well, I mean, it would help me find my way to the lamp, but I'm not going to read by the light of the jukebox.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, is it, you know, I mean, is sometimes, is many times, are many times,
mm-hmm.
is the jukebox the only thing that's on in that room?
Yeah. Okay. I would say that. Like, especially if I'm watching a movie, I will dim lights, but the jukebox you can't dim.
So within 10 seconds of you entering your domicile, you were pissed.
Yeah. Bothered and annoyed and don't touch my stuff. It's my stuff. I like to have it on. You know, I don't think anyone would argue that the basement is my turf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to have whatever I want.
You say that
here.
On the show, but you didn't feel the need to confront anyone
what,
in the
what
home.
What good would it do?
Express your desire to not have anybody mess with your stuff. You just said it right here. Don't mess with my stuff.
Or maybe a better approach of, was there a reason it was turned off?
Yeah,
maybe there was a good reason.
That's
maybe
very they were passive, watching. Passive.
You know, every now and then I got to give you a little nudge, Rob. You know, make a fist, dude. You know, it's
maybe
your stuff.
Dark,
come on,
a dark horror right. movie, and it wasn't appropriate reflecting in the television.
Well, no, they don't like to watch TV down here.
Here, let me just say this, Josh. The truce between Hamas and Israel has gone on for such a long period of time that Rob is not going to throw up a Scud missile over this. He's not going to do that. He'd rather just, you know, but you know.
It's also an issue of choose your battles.
Okay.
You know? Because if I bring it up, it'll ultimately get to, why don't you sell it?
Oh, so you don't want a longer discussion. She hates it?
Well, I think she hates everything that I love.
Well, You can't sell it because that's already been claimed for when you pass.
Well, that's
she
true.
She hates everything I love.
But, you know, in the next few months, money might be sort of at a premium. So who knows? Who knows
you're
what could
happen?
You're
not in an exclusive territory there either, you know?
I know.
I'm going to tell you, I get that to a certain extent. I think that there are a lot of married men out there.
Carla has never sold your stuff while you were on a business trip.
No, but I can if I search my brain, I can find examples of, in my particular case, it's stuff that is put away.
There's gotta be golf stuff.
There's stuff that's put away that doesn't need to be put away. And I wish I could find it. I'd have to spend some time meditating and giving you examples. I can't pull one right now, but I know that there are
like
oftentimes
something that means something to you that she has stored away so you no longer have access to it.
If stuff is laid out, the first thing that would be put away is something that I need to deal with. Do you
of
know?
Course.
I know I'm speaking in broad strokes now, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's similar, that it's just like, you know, she sees that. She's down. What? By the way, why would she have been down there coming through the house too?
No, letting the dogs out, I'm sure.
Letting the dogs out, I get it.
That's the access to the back door, yeah.
Maybe it just reminded her too much of you.
I'm sure that's it.
And she missed you, so she had to turn it off.
Yeah. I think you are right in broad strokes there.
He took his funny pills today.
If the jukebox represents me, then she wants to shut it down.
I see that jukebox and I just wish he was here. I have to turn it off. I'm going to be too sad. I'm going to be too sad.
That's really not what happened.
Yeah,
I promise you.
The thing I want to share with you, a moment I had, this is twofold. When you talk about sad, I don't see my dad in dreams very often, and maybe with all the talk of Rob's dad that we have had.
Did he visit you in your dream?
Yeah, I had a vivid.
I love it.
I can tell you is we're on a plane, like a big 747 plane, and we're up in the front of the plane. We're up in the Richie Rich section, and I gave him a hug, and I said, it's okay. And it was something about him being sick where I said, it's okay. It's okay. I understand. And we had a hug, and I actually woke up with tears in my eyes, and I didn't share it with anybody in the family, but it begs the question here about sleep patterns that I, like many elderly people, infirmed and elderly yes. people, I take a Winky Tink, usually mid-morning, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., that I just wake up.
And you do leave the bed for that, right?
I leave. Well, that's the old joke.
It is. You know?
Perfect. Every morning, 7:30, a nice BM. I wake up and I take a nice bed. Well, I don't get out of bed until 9:30. Anyway, so... I wanted to talk to you, gentlemen, because I know that you, Rob, I know get up sometimes in the middle of the night yeah. to do that. When I get up right before, it's right on the cusp. I'm an early riser anyway. I get up at 5, between 5:30 and 6, usually every morning. If I wake up at, say, 4 a.m., it is really, really tough because I'm like, oh, God.
It's the worst.
The whole process. But for me, that's the average time. However, I will say this, that when I am able to just, it requires a little focus to just really force yourself to crawl back into bed and get that extra hour and a half or 2 hours. And when I do it, though, more often than not, that is when I will have a killer dream. Well, I will have a really intense dream.
That's your deepest sleep. That's your REM sleep, obviously, when you dream.
So the idea of getting back into bed and then really going deep in a really short period of time, that's when I've had these kind of dreams that I've talked about a couple of times on the show recently.
That pattern makes sense to me.
Okay.
And also... I don't want to get too, as they say, woo or, you know, out there. I've had several dreams from dead people where I honestly believe they visited me. They found a way into my subconscious.
I don't think in those terms.
But the fact that your father was in the dream and you had, even without a setup, it ended in a sweet resolution.
I don't know if I was
you
upset
don't think that was
with
a
him
message
for,
or somehow.
One of the things I remember, and I don't like to go into this, but it's okay to give you context. But for my father from 1977, when my sister got married, and also when I celebrated my 18th birthday,
and when Elvis died,
a lot happened to our family in 1977. Not the least of which was it was the first time my dad got really sick, and what my dad ended up having over 14 years was COPD. It was not called COPD back then.
Right.
We thought it was emphysema, but they didn't call it that either. So he went in and out and in and out. And during that period of time, he would still go out and sneak a smoke once in a while because he was horrifically addicted to nicotine. And I remember being so angry and so frustrated that I was going to lose my dad because of this. And so I felt as though this dream was me saying it's okay. And it's not like I was bitter about his health. I just was upset that probably that's what I was most upset with my father in my life about.
Some resolution there. You know, I mean, that's a.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't be able to. Were you? Did you still have a bit of? And it's okay to have a little bit of bitterness when someone passes.
It was not bitter. I was never bitter. I was angry.
Angry. Okay, that's a better word.
That he would still have the addiction, which so many people do, where they can't quit smoking.
Right.
And so, but being on the plane and we were going on a vacation, I thought it might just be that, you know, I'm reminding him I'll be there soon. And
I don't think it's that.
Do you think he came to visit you because he was jealous your mom came a few weeks ago to visit you?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I don't believe people come to see you. I don't know what the subconscious is like.
Was there any extended conversation with him, or was it just the vividness of that situation and the hug and the it's all right?
It was emotional. My father was not a effusive person. He was not somebody
who gave praise.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my father's family, like, you would not believe that we're all effed up because of that. But that's why I think we go into the business of show. It's just we want to, look at me. But I also believe that that you just it's in your mind all the time that your loved ones are part of this. And I think that there's the movie that I recommended, The Last Breath, that I urge everybody to check out. And I think that I am formulating an opinion of what it might be like when we pass. And I think what it might be like is just drifting off to a beautiful sleep. I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, who knows? But at the same time, there are a lot of mysteries out there, the mysteries of life and the mysteries of faith and the mysteries of everything that's out there.
You woke in tears or a little, emotional. Was it
real? I was so happy that I'd hugged my father.
Okay, see, that's it.
Was it hugging your father, or was it that you were in first class?
Both great. Both great.
Both would bring tears to my eyes, like they always
and
did.
Both have been gone and for years.
It's not like my father didn't give me any affection. It just was not. Didn't give a lot of praise. He was very, and it might have been generational, that they were very introverted in such a way that emotions were not on the sleeve.
And that's
if you go back,
they all smoked and drank then.
Because the emotion was there, and usually, unfortunately, that's when a lot of emotion would come out when hoochie,
sure,
where you'd have a drink or two. But at the end of the day, it made me feel good. It was a good kind of emotion that I was feeling when I woke up. And I wanted to share with Carla, but oddly enough, I didn't. I chose to sort of keep it to myself because that can be twofold when you want to share that. You're actually fishing in many cases. Mm-hmm. You're fishing for, look at me, I'm sad, give me love.
Yeah.
And that's another form of it, and I didn't burden her with that today.
Now, I think that when a dream like that happens, and as I said, I've had them too, it's one of two reasons. One is you are trying to comfort yourself with this scenario. And it's something you've thought about, because one thing I learned on a podcast some years ago that I found fascinating, dreams are caused by your brain moving short-term memories into your long-term memories. When you go into REM sleep, think of your brain as like a computer, and it's storing stuff. Now, when you have a really screwed-up dream, it's because you have a weird synapse in your brain, and it doesn't work out. But this notion of being with someone that you care about that you no longer have, it brings you comfort when you see them, and I think that's most likely what it is. It's your mind trying to bring yourself comfort. However,
because it has been stressful here with Carla's work, and I think I've been a little distracted by it.
And you've got family coming into town.
Got family coming into town this week. That's correct.
But then also I hold out the hope, and I can describe in detail two beautiful dreams I had where people came back and essentially was, things are going to be okay. You're doing good. I'm good. You're good. Things are different, and it's going to be okay.
So they lied to you.
Exactly. Well, they were fine. I wasn't.
I'm such a bastard. What? Yeah.
Was your dad a hugger in real life?
We would have the first hug when we hadn't seen each other, but no, he was not a demonstrative
person. You know who was a great hugger? Is Jeffrey Epstein. Great hugger.
He'd never let go.
No,
he
always
would never, ever,
he was never
ever
the first to let go.
No, I think because my dad was reserved in praise, he was a great dad. Don't get me wrong. He was really there for me.
Sure.
And that part I remembered. I remember very well, which means I try to be there for everything with my son. It's very rare, we were taping last night, that I don't go to a full baseball practice he has. Mm-hmm. And, it's just that's the memory. Being there for your kids is the whole enchilada,
when,
as far
when
as
you
I'm
had
concerned.
Your dream about your dad the day before, had you done something really fatherly oriented with Michael that would make you think about the relationship? Okay. So
did you feel bad about missing his baseball yesterday?
Probably. But I might have felt worse about something else. Shooting a 91.
Now that is bad. Yeah. Is that why? I mean, but even in a dream, when someone says it's,
I know
all
that
right,
might be good for some people. It ain't good for me, pal. That's it. That's the way I look.
Pal,
at
it is. Yeah, oh, pally. Okay.
Well, when Pally won, you might have not gone to baseball anyway.
No, it's never that bad. I actually, that baseball for me last night, I came in and I saw you guys, and we had a very silly, goofy, fun show.
We did.
That was good.
That was very helpful for me, but I was very distraught, and so I think there's a lot going on, and that's probably what it is. So I can't tell you why. I can't tell you.
Find comfort in it. Enjoy it. I think about those dreams I've had so many times, and it's awesome. I don't know that I believe in life after death. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that that was a vivid enough dream that there's something going on, that they can live in your subconscious or they can visit you or whatever.
You're putting a positive spin on it. I'm going to put the spin on it that sometimes I think that I will dream like that when I need them. I need their help. I wish they were here to
But in a way, isn't that, that's comfort, though.
Yeah,
the knowing that they're there.
Yeah. I suppose it is. Yeah. I suppose it is. Yeah.
And whether or not it's... Mike, I promise you this. I promise you this.
Yeah.
As we grow older, after I pass, I will visit you in your dreams.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, that is with that psycho knife.
That to me, this
My Forstner knife.
Yeah, that offers me no comfort whatsoever. So this holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home. Because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. All right, play the music. Jesus Christ.
It's time, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I was signaling. That's what that means. That's the signal right there. That's the signal. Pay attention.
Hey, settle down.
Getting ready for the holidays is a hustle.
It is a hustle.
It is a giant hustle. Selecting great wine to make you merry and bright should not be. Naked Wines is the sponsor of today's show, Graham. And they're pouring out a deal you can't ignore. Get it? Pouring out a deal?
Yeah,
is that
it's
yours?
Wine. Yes,
did you
it
do
is.
That?
It's wine.
They connect you directly to the world's best independent winemakers, so you get world-class wine delivered right to your door for up to 60% off in-store prices. No middlemen, no nonsense, just incredible wine. I got one in the pipeline, supposed to be arriving this week, and I cannot wait because
it's
I got
for the holidays.
Well, I got my whole family of winos coming into town. Use code TMOS at nakedwines.com for $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for just $39.99. I drink it. I love it. Every bottle better than the last. Naked Wines, because life's too short for bad wine. I agree.
Yeah.
And their wines,
live it up.
They're fantastic. Let's all head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in TMOS for both the code and password to get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for only $39.99. Shipping included. $100 off your first six bottles. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and the password TMAOOSS for six bottles of wine for $39.99, ladies and gentlemen.
Just think of it, Mike. You're coming home from my funeral, and you go to bed that night, and I appear talking to you about Abbott and Costello. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Yeah, it'd be like Nightmare on Elm Street. So
Freddy!
researchers say, Rob's not going to like this. I lead with this because of
all
you.
Right. All right.
Researchers say raccoons may be inching closer to becoming pets.
No, no, false.
A
no
study
good.
From the University of Arkansas Department of Biology found that raccoons are physically changing in response to their interaction with human beings.
Vermin, rabies, dirt, disgusting animals that
you'll
predators, like, trash pandas.
You'll like the end of the story. By physically changing, they mean their faces are evolving to look cuter. They're not dumpster diving less or becoming less disease-ridden, as you mentioned. They're not doing that.
Right.
But their countenance
they're
becoming
fooling
softer.
Everybody. Exactly. It's like they've had plastic surgery.
One biologist says once wild animals start spending time in the proximity of people, they become a little less afraid and perhaps even start showing physical signs of domestication syndrome. Raccoons aren't the only animals that this is happening to. Foxes also.
Foxes are worse than raccoons.
Mice that live in urban areas also have softer facial features. I never knew that this was possible.
Well, that's become like it's natural selection because the only mice that are screwing are the good-looking ones.
Well, let's not go make it a thing just yet. These animals do not make great pets.
No!
It is even illegal in some areas. They may look cute, but both foxes and raccoons can be quite destructive and need lots of space in wildness and their environments.
Well,
so
just give it another 10 years. They'll continue to adapt.
Last night I was visited by my late Uncle Herman, who said, "Don't trust the foxes."
Did you really have an Uncle Herman?
No, I didn't. But we often joked about the ghost of Herman Spiewak when something would go wrong in the house.
Hyman. Hello, Hyman. Amazon has partnered with Ford to sell certified pre-owned vehicles online. And it's not just a link to a dealership. You'll be able to browse the inventory, work out the financing, and complete the purchase with Amazon Autos. It's like a Car Gurus,
yeah,
or that type of thing. Or
is it Carvana?
Carvana.
Yeah.
Your Ford Bronco will not be shipped to your front door in 2 days or be towed to your house with a special Amazon Prime truck. You schedule the pickup at a participating dealer nearby. Well, that's no big deal.
No, it's no. I mean, people are essentially doing that now when they look at the stock of a dealership before they go there.
Give it a few more days, and we might sell a Ford on MikeOMaraShow.com.
I was going to say, do these new cars, do they stop all of a sudden? The engine cut out?
Yeah.
Would you
yeah.
like to know what Amazon says?
Yeah.
All right, cue the evil voice.
This represents an exciting expansion of our store. I don't like that one.
Hold on. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Amazon says,
"This represents an exciting expansion of our store. Giving customers access to thousands of quality vehicles backed by Ford's inspection and warranty programs. I know, I'm excited about this."
Hey, Amazon.
Yes, Rob.
Do you have a comment on the fact that Henry Ford was a noted anti-Semite?
Hey, Henry.
And can I buy a Ford transmission off of Amazon?
Oh, wow. Do you have to have a whole transmission put in?
I am picking the car up from Ford today because they wanted $9,300 to put a new transmission in.
And how many miles on the car? On the
120.
120,000?
Yeah.
That's abnormal.
Up there.
Now, well, it says, according to Google, it's supposed to last at least 150.
Okay.
And the biggest stinger is I was planning on trading it in once we got to the Christmas sales.
Oh, that sucks.
You paid for the car with that much mileage on it?
No.
Okay. So you'd be upside down if you traded it in?
Like Diana Ross.
God, Josh. Josh and I are living the same dream.
They told me
right
with
now.
The broken transmission, we could give you $3,000 trade-in for it.
And what do you owe? What do you owe on the truck?
Like 17.
Oh,
way too
God.
Much. So
that's why you need to do what Carrie does, is just wreck a car, give it up, and become a one-car family.
You know what you got to do? You might want to talk to some of those people, Josh, and just say, arrange a little accident. Or
Can you still drive it? Is it drivable?
Yes, as long as I switch it into neutral when I'm stopping at a stoplight.
Was this a dealer that quoted you the? Was this a dealer that quoted you the price?
I am picking it up from the dealer today, and I'm going to take it someplace else.
Yeah, you got to find a guy that'll do it cheaper.
If you had bought it on Amazon, you could just drive it to Kohl's and get your money back.
Now I do know someone who abandoned their car in a ditch and set it on fire and got away with it. So maybe I call that person.
That's a good thing.
Might not be a good idea to mention it on a podcast. People online are hoping that Amazon's process can make things more transparent. No, it won't. Please.
This is exactly, as I said, who doesn't look at a dealership online to see what their stock is before you go?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what this is. That's all it is.
Right. Shut up, Winslow.
Can I negotiate with Amazon on the price?
Let me see. If you're a big Amazon nut, you can. Let's see. It hasn't gained much traction. It's been around for a while, but it hasn't. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Going out of their minds.
How come?
Going, I don't know. It's 9 o'clock. Nobody should be breaking in yet.
I bought one of those Amazon crates that you were talking about, and I got headphones in it and a Ford Fiesta.
Very, very exciting. Keep us posted on that, because I'd be curious to find out just what kind of deal you can get. And by the way, there are tons of people down here, if you run up against a wall, that could maybe, you'd have to have it towed, right? Is the car drivable at all?
Yeah, you have to put it in neutral when you stop. It's like a stick shift.
Reverse is a huge pain.
I'll tell you something,
because it stalls,
brother,
immediately.
Being in the Hispanic pipeline down here has changed my life. I get things. There is a culture in Southwest Florida, maybe all over Florida, maybe all over the United States, of people that just get things done and come from other lands where they were mechanically inclined. And I'm very excited about it. So I'll let you know how my journey goes as well with body work when my wife decided to drive the car straight into a big box store, which was fun. In the 2020 documentary Surviving Jeffrey Epstein, one of his former associates claims that Ghislaine, whatever the hell that stupid first name is.
Let's just call her Ghislaine.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
I think that's right.
Once saw a young Paris Hilton at a party and asked to be introduced to her. She reportedly said, quote, "Oh my God, who's that? She'd be perfect for Jeffrey." Well, if that's true, Paris has no memory of it. In a new interview, she says, quote, "I don't even remember meeting Maxwell. I'm such a good clickbait name." I agree with her. She's aware. Paris did meet her, though. It's verified. They were photographed together at an event in 2000 when Paris was 18 or 19.
Wow.
And it's pretty interesting that, both Republicans and Democrats are screaming about the Epstein files now. A lot of people who were allies are no longer allies. It's weird out there on Capitol Hill. It really is.
That's hot.
That's hot.
The most remarkable takeaway from that story is that in 2000, that was a quarter of a century ago.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I can't do that.
It's stunning. It really is.
And Paris still lovely.
Away.
Thank you.
Okay, now you're great. You didn't need that.
I just said lovely. That's
you didn't
all.
Need to say that. Yeah. You really didn't.
I got an autographed copy of her last album.
I think Nate Bargatze is a very funny man, but I am not aware of the fact that he did this in his special, even though I watched his comment. I don't know where he said it, but apparently he made a statement, not a joke, about opening up a theme park in Nashville. He spoke at a theme park conference in Orlando, Florida yesterday.
This is surreal. This is real?
He announced his plans. His production company, Nateland, is partnering with an entertainment design firm to, quote, explore the concept and feasibility of a Nashville-based theme park. Nate wants a park that's over 100 acres is focused on good, clean family fun, and it will be called Nateland. If and when Nateland opens, it'll be the first theme park to come to Nashville since Opryland, USA, closed in 1997.
Mike, I love theme parks.
Yes,
and I have an opinion right away.
Okay.
If he takes a page from Dolly, which was obviously what his thought is, because Dollywood is a huge deal in the Smoky Mountains, and Nashville is a destination city now for partying and bachelor parties and bachelorette parties and all
big
that
time.
Stuff, you're just really sort of riding that craze. And then you got all the local people that are, I think if he pulls it off even in a halfway decent way, it's going to be a hit.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I look at this as simply a bigger version of the restaurant business. I really do. Okay. I think this is like, you know, disc jockeys, performers, anybody in show business wants to have a restaurant, you know, and traditionally they don't do well. Well, this is just a larger scale.
Dolly, I would have laughed at Dollywood when you presented it to me originally. It has become the best regarded, cleanest favorite theme park in the country. Well, and so if it's run well and he's got his name on it, it's not going to work against it.
Are you sure you're not letting your opinion be clouded by your simple love of a new theme park?
Yeah, I am. I'll never go to it. I just
that's right, because it's not within 2 hours of your home.
Right, and they don't have blue ice cream, right, Josh?
Well, they might. We don't know. Yeah. I think we get you there for the opening.
Send a letter to Nate. Send a letter to Nate, and we'll keep you posted on that. I believe we should be entitling this next story part of the 12 Days of Gravy, because, yes, it's another gravy story. Store-bought gravy will never compare to the homemade version. I think we all know that.
This is true.
Especially Amazon grocery gravy. Oh. No, it's not. Every Thanksgiving, some people force themselves to tolerate gravy from cans, jars, and cartons. Now, the jar gravy from Heinz,
yeah,
we've used it for non-holidays, and it's not too shabby, really.
I usually keep a jar as a backup in case my gravy breaks or something goes horribly wrong with the gravy. It never has, but you have to have it in case.
I usually keep a jar on hand just in case of an emergency. Yeah. Well, Rob Spiewak has emergency gravy.
You want to serve a big roast beef or a roast turkey without gravy? You're going to become an enemy if you do that. You
go out to your car, drive to the store, pick it up. That's how it works.
It's closed, Mike. It's closed on Thanksgiving Day.
What other emergency foods do you store?
Great question.
Well, you know, I always keep a ham.
Is there a ham in your refrigerator right now?
No, we don't have an emergency ham right now.
Okay.
But we have in the past.
The Costco tabletop ham is back. Will you be grabbing another?
Yeah, absolutely.
The really expensive one where you cut the thing off?
I won't be getting that again. That was a disaster. I did not care for the Spanish ham. If I get a ham, it will be a Costco boneless ham. That is just, it's fantastic. We might not even do a turkey this year. We might do a ham for Thanksgiving.
Well, the store-bought hams, as we mentioned, cans, jars, cartons. Now there is an option, squeezable gravy. Heinz has, by the way, I think if you took a squeeze bottle and you put your homemade gravy in there,
that's a good idea.
As a gravy delivery system, Winslow!
It would have to be thermal, though. Because you don't want the gravy to get cold.
Heinz, if there's a store-bought gravy, I would back that one up. Heinz has launched its first ever squeezable gravy bottle featuring its home-style turkey gravy. It's called Leftover Gravy, and it looks like a bottle of stadium mustard or something. They say it's specifically for sandwiches, and it was inspired by the Friends episode where someone steals Ross's Moist Maker sandwich, which was made from Thanksgiving leftovers, with the secret being a gravy-soaked slice of bread in the middle. If it's available exclusively, there we go.
Tell me that doesn't look like someone had a lot of rich food the night before.
And I'm sure you have to buy it from their app or their website.
Walmart.com, Josh. Walmart.com. That's where you get it. To get one, you needed to buy a jar version for $1.88, and then they'd include a limited edition Heinz leftover gravy kit.
Bite me, Heinz, and your 57 varieties.
Squeezable version at a recipe card.
I have something they can squeeze at the people at Heinz. And also, you know what? Friends, I'm over it. Not funny then, not funny now.
Oh, I thought Friends was very funny. Come on now. What are you talking about?
The bar was low then. It's not a good sitcom.
It is sold out right now on Walmart.com. They sold it for $1.88.
That's it. That's how popular it is.
They accepted moron dollars for that.
Hey, I got my squeeze gravy. Finally, today, a guy in Rockford, Illinois, great town, got arrested on Friday after hanging out of the side of a car and swinging a gun around because he thought,
the ladies would like it.
Yeah.
Someone called 911 after they saw a 27-year-old Saba Bonilla hanging out a window of a black SUV and waving a semi-automatic rifle. It was a Smith & Wesson that basically looks like an AR-15. The gun was sitting on the backseat of his SUV when cops caught up with him. He also had a large-capacity magazine, God almighty, with 30 bullets hidden in his pant leg. At least two women were in the car with him, and when cops asked why he waved the gun around, he said, quote, he was attempting to have sexual relations with them, and, quote, believed women liked these things.
That's a good response.
It turns out he's been convicted on weapons charges 4 separate times. They arrested him for unlawful possession of a gun. He's due in court December 16th. Researchers have already concluded that women are not attracted by big guns. They do, however, notice if you're carrying a gun and you have a good sense of humor. There's my sex news today. That's it. We thank you for joining us for the news. The show continues.
30 bullets in his pants.
In his pants, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, you all have heard about the incredible weight loss people have experienced with peptides. I'm back on my peptide journey again. I want to knock out 20 to 30 pounds. With these prescription medications, people have lost incredible amounts of weight. I personally have been on these medications for a very long time, and they've kept me flat for longer than any program I've ever been on. When I say that, I mean it. That's a big deal for me. And now, I started this week in earnest, getting back to doing the standard things you have to do, minding what you eat, keeping it to a protein-heavy diet, and recording what you eat and recording your weight. And it's amazing how quickly these help you. These peptides are amazing. You can lose weight, too. Here's the great part. You can do it from the comfort of your own home just by going to DermGlowSkin.com. Soon to be right here in Fort Myers at a brand new location.
Brick and mortar. Ooh.
Yeah, it's exciting. You just click the weight loss button, choose your peptide, take a quiz, a doctor approves your prescription, and it's delivered to your front door. At DermGlow, they know that these amazing products are not cheap. That's why they have 3 great payment plans, and they accept HSA and FSA. Plus, Black Friday specials have dropped early. Don't miss out on huge discounts on select medications through the end of the year. Now is the time to stop the food noise. Feel like yourself again with DermGlowSkin.com. You only live one life. You deserve to make it the best. You owe it to yourself to visit DermGlowSkin.com, everybody. We could not be more excited about the fact that we've got the TMOS Love Boat Cruise coming up the weekend of December 5th. And if you really get excited about anything, if you really have a lot of joy in your life in general, and you want someone to take a blanket, dip that blanket in a bathtub, make sure it's good and wet, and you need somebody who wants to throw that blanket on our joy for the cruise, I give you Mr. Josh Sroka, who, when we were discussing the cruise before the show, said, I hope we don't have a murder on our cruise ship.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. What's your story, Schleprock?
I'm just saying, check under the bed when you get on your cruise, because on a Carnival cruise.
Oh, my God. That is like the most terrifying thing.
That is horrifying, Josh.
Wow.
On a Carnival cruise out of Miami, on November 8th, a housekeeper found 18-year-old Anna Kepper's body under the bed in her stateroom.
Oh, see, when you said look under the bed, you freaked me out like there might be a murderer looking under the bed.
That's just where they put Anna, Mike.
It's just where they're going to put the previous person that stayed in your room.
Oh, my God.
After they kill them.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Oh.
So she was on a family cruise, on a Carnival cruise with her family, and was murdered and stowed under her own bed.
So here I have a million questions. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to answer them all.
It's a brand new story, just came out this morning, so I can't answer much except
but
for what's in this article.
This is what I would ask you. Did they discover the body after people had disembarked the cruise?
That would be my question.
And I cannot tell that from this article.
Because if she was still on the boat after disembarkation, did they charge her for another cruise?
Well, I can't figure out.
It's not the direction of my question.
I was thinking
I was trying to solve the crime. Rob was worried about the dollars. So, you know, obviously, if it's at sea and they discover a body, you got, your suspect is somewhere on the ship.
Yeah, and someone that can get into her room, like maybe a family member.
Exactly. It was a family cruise, Dad.
How
old was this lady?
18-year-old.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible.
And did she have brothers and sisters on the cruise ship,
looks
too?
Looks like her parents and a brother.
Well, as of now, she has a brother.
Oh, my God. That's disgustingly dark. this just broke?
There, just broke, November 19th, 6 a.m. So, yeah, this morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they believe that it is a minor who is the step-sibling of her.
Sibling?
Sibling.
You can't. Sometimes you can't force them in there. Sibling?
I think that's funny, Mike, because it's a hyphenated word. Step-sibling.
Step-sibling.
It's a step.
You know, doesn't that sound like an antidepressant? You know, if you're having trouble coping with life, try step-sibling.
Yes.
Step-sibling is not recommended. May cause diarrhea.
I was horrified with my life when I found the 18-year-old girl under my bed until I found step-sibling.
Step-sibling. So when you say step-sibling, do they have any details as to the age of the stepbrother?
That it is a minor, and it does not say stepbrother or stepsister.
So we don't know.
We don't know much. We know the stepmother was also on the cruise.
Stepmother. Okay. Well, that's a lot.
Was she evil? Because a lot of times in fairy tales, the stepmother is evil.
This is really unbelievable.
They were making her mop up the
the deck.
The cruise ship. The deck.
Did they discuss the manner of death?
No.
Wow. This is just breaking now. We don't have any of the
FBI
details yet.
FBI is researching and interviewing all the family members.
Rob, make sure you know this. They're researching and interviewing. I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
This has been a bad time. Not a question, a statement. It's been a bad time for Carnival, right?
Didn't
it seem like every other week we were watching a brawl on the Carnival? And look,
they had to shut down and make new rules to settle the people down.
Because there weren't enough fried shrimp to go around. People are going to fight.
I thought
it was chicken fingers.
Could be chicken fingers.
Look, this is a perfect time for me to make this statement, all right? And I think you'll agree. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Soroka, Rob Spiewak. Mm. Josh, not a big drinker. Rob, a former drinker, reformed.
Champion drinker, yeah.
Rob, noted alcoholic who no longer drinks. Mike O'Mara, chilling out a little bit more. And I'm speaking to myself when I make this statement. On the TMOS Love Boat Cruise. Mm-hmm. And enjoy yourself. Knock yourself out. Just be...
Don't say that.
Look... Mind your P's and Q's.
Please, price and quality.
I don't want, here's what I don't want to deal with. I really don't. I don't want to deal with, do you want to deal with that?
No,
I don't want
to see anyone fall down like we've seen in the past in Reno.
Is there anything that you would add to my, and it's not a plea, and it's not like we deal with people who are over the top all the time, but... People get excited. People get ramped up. This is an alcohol-fueled environment.
Sure.
With all the multiple... Well, they got 40 bars on this boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got a ton of them.
Yeah.
I just want to say you got plenty of time. I recommend highly is a nice rolling buzz. That's what I recommend. A nice rolling buzz. Don't think you're going to do it all within an hour, okay? That's my advice to you. Am I being obnoxious by suggesting this? No, not at all.
And if I can just add this one little addendum.
Sure.
Is if there's something that you feel the need to communicate to someone else, it doesn't have to be us, but it's probably us. If it doesn't seem like a good idea when you're sober, don't do it when you're drunk. Because just because you've got that extra bravery in you doesn't change the content.
Look, we start the cruise with a cocktail party, I believe, on Friday night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is where I think all hands on deck as far as responsible and chilling out, all right? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot to do. There are tons of activities. There are activities through the ship. You explore the ship. You have ports of call. It's going to be a fabulous cruise. But have they shut the doors yet? Is there still an opportunity for anybody?
There's still an opportunity.
There's still an an opportunity if you want to do it.
Come on.
Josh Soroka at MikeOmeraShow.com. Josh@MikeOmeraShow.com. Yep. We'll have the information. If you're a last-minute guy and you came into some moolah and you want to go on the cruise, still an opportunity for you to do that. So please do that for our friends at MSC.
Balance your liquor with food. Because a lot of times, I just think back to the WJFK Christmas parties. I never really got to the eating part of the party.
And there's usually a great spread on these things. Yeah. So,
and you grab some bread. That'll help you out.
There it is. That's it. That's our. And hopefully you won't find a body in your room. That's important.
No guarantees, Mike. Yeah,
wrapped in blankets and shoved under the lights.
Chaffron, hold on before Jimmy we get to the commercial. Can't go on the cruise, but here's some moolah. Thank you very much. A $100 super chat. You are the man, Chaffron, or the woman. I see a guy's picture.
It's Jim Chaffron. He is a great singer. He's done the national anthem in several major league parks. Yes, Mike, he has.
I know everybody by name and what they do. I know everybody. Yeah. This is what he is. Yeah, I want to tell you all the details to make me look smart.
Maybe I'm making him feel welcome. Maybe he would like to give us more money.
Now I'm going
to
be passive aggressive with Mike, too. I'm going to do both of them.
One step closer to 200K.
One step closer to Rob being under my bed on the MSC side.
No, you mustn't murder me. That's not acceptable.
Thank you. The holiday season can be stressful, endless shopping.
Sometimes I make myself laugh.
The holiday season can be stressful. Endless shopping, travel, parties every weekend. When you need to slow down and actually relax. I'm giving a person crap for acknowledging a fan of what I do who has just donated to what we all do.
Mike, yes. Can I come out from under the bed? The cocktail party's tonight.
Die, die, die.
No. Step-sibling.
When you need to slow down and actually relax, reach for Souls Out of Office Gummies, a perfect balance of CBD and THC. It helps you find your calm and keeps your peace of mind. Go ahead. Did you want to say something else?
No, I don't.
Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. If you like their out-of-office gummies, try amazing out-of-office beverages, a refreshing alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing with friends. Soul also has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get a better night's rest, including their top-selling sleepy gummies. Plus, all of Soul's products are made from organically farmed, USA-grown hemp, and are vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and federally legal. Take advantage of Soul's Black Friday Cyber Monday deal. Now, for a limited time, get 40% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 40% off. Don't miss their best deal of the year, and we thank you.
I will be packing those for the cruise.
Rob, tomorrow we'll talk about the creepy dead relative service. But
okay, all right.
I rarely get an opportunity to demonstrate some of my pre-show physical routines. Hold on, just a second.
Like you're stretching, and when you put on that agitation belt, like from a 1930s gym.
Whatever.
Wow, you know what? You've turned. You're sour.
Like when
now.
You walk the dog.
Yeah.
Is that what we get an example of?
All right. So this is a microfiber towel that I hold in my hand.
Okay.
Right here.
This yellow, for those on audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mike O'Mara, and in everybody's spine, there's disc material. In mine, not so much.
It's gone away. You had it at one point.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Back in the day. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, he's
back
prepping.
In the day, that would have been my disc.
Okay.
All right.
So, right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Now, this is my disc.
A fraction of what it once was.
So my neck is, she's always tight. And it only really started manifesting itself recently. And so I got a stretch online. And if you have neck pain, This is what I want you to do. Now, it's going to look like I'm trying to hurt myself, but I'd like to go on record saying I'm not.
Hey, you have a history of that, and so people get concerned.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, I'm just making sure you're not tying the towel to, like, the pole above you or something.
Yeah. No, I am not. No, I'm not.
This and I'm glad you're not cutting anymore, Mike. I think that's good.
Here we go. So here's the towel.
Yeah?
I take this part of the towel, and I bring it down tight. Excuse me. And then I do this. Hold on. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm doing it now, really tight, too.
Now, really are you turning your head more than you can naturally?
Because the towel is pulling your head?
So the towel is pushing your neck further.
Yes.
Yeah. And is it true that when you do it, the orgasms are much more intense?
You know, I don't need creepiness right now. I'm trying to show
it's a Michael Hutchence reference.
This is going to be beneficial. New sensation. Is that it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In excess. Right.
Now, this is 1, 2, 3.
Do you ever get a crack when you do it?
Occasionally. 3, 4, 5, 6.
So you're supposed to do 20 seconds.
How long do you have to do this to start to turn all the way around?
It doesn't really. See, look at the flexibility, though. Look at that. See,
yeah. Right.
That, oh, my headphones.
You're getting closer. See, keep doing that. You'll be able to look behind your back.
Exactly. You'd be like Regan in The Exorcist. Or Reagan.
Reagan.
It's Reagan. Reagan. Right?
Yeah. I'm talking to Reagan right now.
It's a very.
I do that impression. If you would.
Please.
Since we've got a few
I love
extra
it because it's still spooky
here.
Season.
Hold on, I got to turn the microphone up. Talk to me, Rob. Let's do a scene. All right,
okay.
Here we go. Ready?
Hello, Reagan.
What a beautiful day for an exorcism.
If you truly are the devil, why not loosen those straps yourself?
Just loosen these straps.
Oh, it burns. Thank you.
And scene.
That's it. Thank you. That's it.
The greatest Washington, D.C. movie of them all.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just for those of you, you just take all that. That's as long as the towel is. That's
Could you
all,
use
that's
a longer
need.
Towel?
Yeah. It might be better. It might be easier. And
How
you might get a little
sheet?
More leverage.
Or a tarp.
Just a bed sheet out the window. You can eat. That's it. That's what I recommend. It'll be fantastic. I wanted to add one little thing to this that last night I got done with taping the show. We had a late taping at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a pet abuser, but last night I was borderline where I took my daughter. I was exhausted by the end of the show. I was really, because of the show, but just because of my day. A lot going on here down in Southwest Florida.
It's very different when you have a full day before the show.
It's not what I like. I like doing this first thing. I really do. I like doing the show. I like that being the first thing on my list when I do stuff during the day. But at the end of the day, I'm crisp. Crisp to the point of all I want to do after this show, flop down and jump in the computer or watch something on Netflix. Don't really want to do much. But Carla has taken my son to baseball practice, so I am the caretaker of the little bastards that are in their little pen.
Canines.
And their little canines. And in their pen, you know, when I'm doing this show, because they cannot be trusted in the house because they continuously, and I don't know whether it's a Boston Terrier thing or we're not good dog trainer thing. All I know is they have accidents all the time, all over the house, and it's frustrating. Now, when we are in the room, it's a different story. When we're sitting on the couch and the dogs are there, we still have little baby gates up on either side of the living room so that they stay in one confined area.
But you know what it's like. You can't poop if someone's watching you.
Here's what happens. I walk them. I take them on a decent 10-minute walk.
Okay.
Plenty of time. Winslow does what he does. He marks everything.
Yeah.
Mark, mark, mark. Doesn't really go out and pee. He looks at it as a greeting service.
Does he do the thing after?
Little bit.
At the end of the walk, is he raising his leg and no pee is coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Sebastian does that. I hate it. Yeah, exactly. A double pumper.
It's like, screw you. What are you doing? Don't play that game. And then I bring them back, and I'm like, okay, guys, it's time for a treat. And I usually give them a treat each. I give them two treats each.
A banana?
I give him two little doggy treats from a bag you can eat. And I give him these beautiful little treats. And then what did I go into the bedroom for? I go into the bedroom.
To cry.
to cry tears of the damned. I am in the bedroom getting, I think, a pair of glasses for maybe 5 seconds.
Okay.
I come out, and next to the pen in the middle of the living room are two piles of shite. And I look, and I lose it.
Yeah.
I lose it.
They use their time so wisely.
I throw my vegan bites at Winslow. I tell them both to get in the pen, and I pick up my elongated shoehorn, which tells those dogs, I mean business. And I am yelling at them, and I am whacking. Now, the whole thing with dog trainers that say, they really don't understand what they've done, that is BS. They know exactly what they've done.
Exactly. Have you ever had a dog that, like, won't go into a room because they've shit in there?
Yes.
Pardon me. And they know. They have shame, yeah.
And I am so pissed, as angry as I have ever been. This was immediately when I was done with the walk, the long walk that I specifically took for them so that they could go out and relieve themselves, and B, that I had left that room for 5 seconds.
Wow.
And in that time, a giant pile of stubby poo.
And you know it to be stubby?
One. Not one. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to go into a court of law and swear by it, but I'm going to lay odds that it was stubby.
What I do, now that I have two dogs, I only feed one of them corn, so I can...
This was not corn-based. Well,
that's better than your old method of taste.
So exactly.
And by the way, at one point we have Winslow with a trainer. As soon as we brought the other one, which Carla for some... Carla wanted Winslow to have a companion. That's why. That's the whole reason why.
Well, couldn't she be that?
And they are cute. They are cute, and we sleep with them. And they're sweet little dogs. They're cute little dogs. But I'm at my wit's end. I am at my wit's end, you know? Nodak said, to be fair, I don't like to go into the living room if I've accidentally crapped in there.
That's very true.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just wanted to share that with you. And do you have beautiful video for us, please?
I do. Yes.
But it is the holiday season, ladies and gentlemen, and I am excited to tell you we have it. It's right here. The mug ornament. Tis
ready
the holiday season. So how'd they sell yesterday, Josh? Did we sell some of them?
I didn't look.
Why are you saying it like that? Look what makes him smile. No, look what makes this mirthless.
Because I was concerned. Do I lie to Mike?
I don't want you to lie. Go ahead. Tell me. Do we sell one of them yesterday?
I haven't looked yet.
Okay.
I didn't do any. We finished the show last night. I got it. That's right.
The first time we mentioned it was that. This is the TMOS. Let me zoom in on it here for a second. He'll be coming down the chimney. Coming down the chimney. Coming down there the it chimney. Is. There's the twine.
It's ready to hang. It's beautiful. I have one on my tree. I had it last year. I would do it again this year. It's a nice, shiny red ornament.
They're only $200.
No, that's not right.
What?
They're $20, Mike.
How can we make a profit?
We can't. We're taking a loss because we love our listeners.
Anyway, get yourself a TMOS holiday ornament like this hanging on your tree. Support the show you love. Santa loves these. He told me personally. Santa said, do it. Do it. Do it.
That's
now.
That's what Santa said.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Supplies extremely limited. Well, of course they are. We have like 24 of them. Maybe less now.
Less. Yeah. You know.
Somebody decided not to look. Supplies are limited. By the way, how long does it take for you to check that?
I'm checking now. Our website's slow. It needs some work.
It does?
Yeah.
This time of year, it needs work. Look at that. Look at this acrobatic thing I'm doing.
That's
right
pretty
now.
Cool. I got to admit, you could be on the Ed Sullivan Show with that skill.
Once they're gone, they're gone.
That's true.
All right. And you will essentially be a dead body under a bed on a cruise ship.
Step sibling.
Grab them while you can at MikeOMaraShow.com. Just click the tab that says Story. It's a great place for all your holiday shopping. So don't leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. Hang a TMOS mug ornament right here.
There
instead,
it is.
Your Tannenbaum deserves
22
it.
Left.
We sold two?
Yes.
Two? Half the tray? All right, we have 22 left.
People, we're trying to feed our families here. For
yeah,
the
come
love
on,
of God,
folks.
You know?
We're taking a loss on every mug.
Yeah, the show came out like 12 hours ago.
Oh, that's right.
We started talking about it.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be bitching
Well,
yet.
You know what? We are here. We know about it. They should know about it, too.
All right, beautiful video. Go ahead,
yeah,
Rob.
Let's
take
do
it away.
Please.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
The Big Apple, Mike.
WORFN New York.
Would I be overstating it if I said that there's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now?
Oh, God. You know, sometimes when I reflect on it, when you say something like that, and it makes me, I just, SMH, Rob.
I know, you shake your head.
SMA.
Yeah. Yesterday, this tape surfaced. It was Donald Trump took time out of his busy schedule to go what is to known as the Impact Summit, where business leaders meet up.
Okay.
And he took the time to address a crowd of McDonald's owners. And with all that's going on, I think this is really good for the country.
Because no matter who you are, everyone loves something at McDonald's. There's always something to have. I like the fish. I like it. You could do a little bit more tartar sauce, though, please. Seriously. I hate when I say, do you have any tartar sauce? Do you understand that? Yes, yeah, he understands that.
He also went on to say that the return of the extra value meal, it reflects well of the economy.
You know, some things like the economy are really hard to fix. But if he can fix the Filet-O-Fish, he's making progress.
Yeah, a little tartar sauce.
Do you think he really is telling the truth? I don't think he's telling the truth.
They
I think
the
man
fish?
Lies. I think he lies like water, and I think I bet he's a burger guy. Didn't we know he was a burger guy?
He likes
right?
burgers, but also I can see him getting a Filet-O-Fish and taking the fish off it and just having a tartar sauce sandwich.
And but he's right. The problem with the Filet-O-Fish is if they don't put enough tartar sauce on it.
There he is. Well, no, talking to his base right
the
there.
The problem
there
is the fact they've gone to a half a piece of cheese instead of a full piece of
That's
cheese.
That's true also. That's also a problem.
So kiss my ass.
Get that to Trump.
I, you know, being a Mainer, you know, having a rectangle of fish, there is an unknown substance. I don't know. Hey, Rolando, thank
Yay,
you.
Rolando.
$20 super chat from, where's the music now? The music now? See? There it is.
Cha-ching.
Great show. Legends. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is he referring to the show that has all the celebrity impersonators in Myrtle Beach? Legends?
Oh, Legends.
Where you get like a fake Dolly Parton and a fake Elvis and a fake Blues Brothers.
You'll have to contact Rolando after the show.
Rolando, call me after the show in my office. Mike, there's a organization. They have a YouTube page. They're called There I've Ruined It, where they mess with songs. And we've had their stuff in the past. Some of it is great. Some of it isn't. Mm-hmm. I love this one. This is an entire country song made up of other country singers, 50 of them to be exact, just saying the phrase cold beer. So this
cold beer, cold beer, cold beer,
cold beer,
cold beer,
cold beer,
cold beer,
with an ice cold beer,
with an ice cold beer.
I love cold beer,
cold beer,
with an ice cold beer.
Perfect.
Isn't that great?
It says everything you need to know about modern country music. I'm sorry, but it does. Yeah.
Everything in the same key, everything in the same tempo.
Absolute garbage. I'm sorry, it's garbage music. It is. It is.
Mike, the only thing that's missing from that is, of course, Tom T. Hall.
I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, tomatoes in the rain. And pain. Pain's my own. What were you going to say, Josh? I'm sorry.
No, that country music is made to sell cold beer.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
But the thing is, the knock on people who love older country, classic country, as it would be called, is that it's just it's become so ridiculously formulaic where there's no creativity to it. And, you know, some of these great, take a look at like Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash.
Great song. Great
All right.
Song.
You know, talk about Charlie Daniels' Uneasy Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Think about even when you go really, really old school, Hey, Good Looking. with Hank Williams Jr. or anything from Willie Nelson. I mean, you had variety, and now it's like all these guys that sound exactly the same.
Mike,
come on.
We've always said, you and I agree on the fact that if a song is well written, if it's a good song, it can be great in any sort of format,
yes,
country, pop, or anything. But what they've done now is they've made songs that aren't good in any format.
Right.
And that's sad.
And you'd never hear a He Stopped Loving Her Today on a modern country song. You'd never hear a minimalist ballad.
Do you think Josh knows the clever twist ending of He Stopped Loving Her Today?
Oh, do you?
No, I'm sure I don't.
Well, he was dead.
Yes.
See, no. The only reason he and stopped loving bed. Her, he said, he was under the bed on the cruise ship. They placed a wreath upon the cruise ship door.
All right, Mike. I do not have a Ring doorbell, but seeing this made me think I should get one.
You should.
There's a fella, and he's rollerblading, and he sees a Lamborghini parked in front of a house, and he says, that's a gorgeous car. And he says, I'm going to go in and knock on the door and ask this guy about the Lamborghini. We can talk cars. I ask your patience because it's a little lengthy, but this is worth it, all right? So you see him. He's spotted the Lamborghini. He's using the rollerblades to get up to the door. He's shirtless. Oh, and this God. Is in Florida, of course. Yeah. That's him knocking.
Is he wearing a bandana?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shirt's in his hand.
And
so he started with a shirt on.
Yeah. Keep in mind, he doesn't know this guy. He just rollerbladed up and knocked because he wants to talk about the Lamborghini. And he's waiting. There's been no answer yet. And so he maybe thinks about leaving. But no, he stays. And whoa!
Oh, no.
Now, here's the beauty of it. He really hurt himself. And when the guy comes out to answer the door, he doesn't see a guy standing on rollerblades. He sees a guy rolling on his floor in pain.
Wow. Can you take it back to the fall one more time?
Yeah, of course.
I did not see that fall coming.
Yeah. Here we go.
Jesus, now, it's a nasty tumble.
Here we go. When the guy comes out to help.
Like, no, I slipped and twisted my knee. Where you live at, man?
I live off of.
Yeah. You want to get these things off, man?
No, let me just.
And yes, the house owner is laughing at him.
Yeah, just text. If you could text her. I'll keep calling her.
Just say, hey, it's okay. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, text my wife. Just keep telling her that. I don't think he's in the right mind right now.
I'm calling for Steve.
Unreal. Florida, baby.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, would you ever like a car so much that you would go and knock on someone's door?
No, I would be worried that it would be creepy. I think it would be more like something you would do.
But, but I also would not be rollerblading shirtless.
Hey! All right, let's close with this, Mike. I know you love hotels. You live in hotels. And for years, you lived at the Park Central.
In
New York City.
Yeah, well, whole floor.
How wouldn't you love to have this?
Your alarm clock didn't sound like this, but it smelled like your favorite breakfast scent. Holiday Inn Express just launched the world's first breakfast alarm clock. It literally wakes you up to the smell of coffee, bacon, or blueberry muffin. No jarring alarm.
What?
F them. Really? No. Really? I mean, Jesus Christ. I hate ideas.
And I don't want to wake up to the smell of those things. I want to wake up to those things.
To those things.
Yeah, you want that smell of coffee when somebody puts a coffee mug next to your bed, you pricks. Right.
I'd like to wake up with a machine that has those blueberry muffins nice and warm and ready for me.
They had one of those machines put into the Park Central in New York, Mike, but it smelled like BM.
Just a callback. Jim P says he should have given that guy a ride to the hospital in the Lamborghini. Then it's got closure. There you go. Smell your favorite smells. I hope that fails miserably. Thank you.
And then every Holiday Express burns to the ground.
Thank you. And they find the killer.
Yes.
Of the cruise ship.
Step sibling.
Thing. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. There's so much more that we could have given you today. But unfortunately, you'll have to go away. Come back again tomorrow. Hey, everybody, you're really killing it with the Super Chats.
Love it. Love
it. And we appreciate that. And if you are so motivated to do a Super Chat, buy these and give them away too. We'd appreciate that. That's it, because we're always selling, because that's how we, you know, that's how we do our jobs. We love you, and we love the Super Chat people, and we love all of you in the comments that watch us on YouTube every day. God bless all of you. We'll be back tomorrow for Josh Sharoka and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Soundboard broke.